The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast, is brought to you by, well, of course, you. If you want to learn more about how you can support the show, go to patreon.com/thearena_podcast.
Hit it!
That's what I'm talking about!
Wait!
Okay now, from the beginning.
Hit it, boys.
Hey everyone, welcome into The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast. I'm your host, Expat, along with my co-hosts, Burly of Burlyman Gaming on Twitch, and Turn-Based Carl. Burly, how you doing, man?
Doing good. How are you, Expat?
Tired, man. It's been a long week. And dealing with all this, stuff on social media and everything, trying to get likes from the Twitter machine. It's like, for this week's episode, man, we're going to be talking about, of course, games that possibly we would consider to be a perfect score, or, should games get a perfect score? And so I put two tweets out. One was, if you don't think games should ever get a perfect score, hit the like button. And then the other was, if you think games should get a perfect score, hit the like button,
Wait. So you see, there's the problem. I only saw one of those tweets.
Okay. But still.
See, that's Twitter for you. Like, You don't know what people are actually going to see if you put more than one tweet.
But you would think one of them would actually get a like, So I'm kind of starting to wonder now if I tweeted, if you like video games, click the like button. I wonder if I'll actually get a like.
I hate that crap. I see that all, people do that stuff a lot. And it's just like, nah, it makes me not want to hit the like button when people do that.
But it's just, Twitter is so weird, man. It's just weird. I mean, there's some good people. There's some crazy people, I don't know, man. It's just, So I've just been having one of those weeks when it comes to social media and stuff. And I also decided this week, as Carl, you and Burly probably saw today, I changed my Twitter handle. I got the 2020 out of some of that stuff. So I'm kind of changing that up a little bit. So, just wanted to do that. I thought it was overdue. So
it's a tainted year.
Yeah. Tainted year. But I mean, that's the year that I started this podcast. That's the year I started really getting into content creation and all. So, I mean, it's not that I'm trying to use 2020 for the fact that, I want to highlight the pandemic and stuff like that. But, I did it because of
no expat. That's what everybody thought.
That's the thing, man. That's what I'm,
it's pounding on your doors to change your name.
Yeah. So anyway, Carl, how you doing, man?
Good. I got some oolong tea this morning.
Enjoying oolong tea. Ooh, cool. Yeah, I have jasmine tea. So yeah. Awesome. Cool. Burly, what are you drinking? What are you drinking with your spiritual opium this morning?
Water. And a healthy amount of spiritual opium. Putting all those chemicals from all that tea. There's only one chemical to trust, spiritual opium.
Yeah. Okay, so in this week's episode, we're going to be talking about some more game delays. We're going to be talking about Game Pass blowing up in September. We're going to be talking about ex-Ubisoft developers opening a new studio, along with Sega and Atlus set to announce a new RPG at the Tokyo Game Show that's going to be coming up. We're going to be talking about that. And then our topic of the show, of course, we're going to be discussing game reviews and whether or not games should get a perfect score or not. But before we do that, and before we talk about the games that we've been playing this past week, here's a brief word about where you can find the podcast.
Before the crew discuss what they have been playing, this episode of The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast, and The Post Show will be going to Patreon in early access for one day after recording. So if you would like to support the show and become a patron at the entry tier 1 level at $1 per month, and get early access to every episode and post show, as well as listen ad-free, please visit patreon.com/thearena_podcast for further details. Weekly on Sundays, the podcast will be uploaded to all free podcast services. Weekly on Wednesdays for the post show, where you can find us on any podcast app for iOS or Android, Spotify, Amazon Music, and on Expat's YouTube channels, Expat 2020 Gaming, and The Arena Citadel. Just download your favorite podcast app or open Spotify and search for The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast. Subscribe, follow us, post a review, and leave us questions, comments, and feedback if you like, if that feature is available there, and spread the word about the podcast. We also have a Discord called The Arena Podcast, where you can join and chat with The Arena Podcast community, and the podcast website is at thearenapodcast.podbean.com, where you can follow us and leave us questions and comments as well. Finally, you can also follow us on Twitter at The Arena, AMPGNP, as well as on Instagram at @thearena_podcast. Now, back to the show.
Okay, guys, let me talk first about what I've been playing. I finished up Life is Strange True Colors. It's a great game. It's really, really weird, man. I think, this is not an episodic game where, you'd buy episode one and then like a couple of months later, episode two would come out. And I talked about this last week, where this is a full standalone game. But it just didn't seem like if you condensed all five episodes into one, like if they were in episodic mode, being released in episodic mode, this one standalone game seemed shorter. It really did. I mean, I was able to finish this in like a good 8 to 9 hours. It was pretty quick. So I mean that $59.99 price point, I don't know if it's really, I would probably, it's a great game and all, if you want to get it, I mean, go for it and pay that $59.99, but I would probably wait for a while until it dropped a little bit more in price, because I think you can finish this game pretty quickly. But Life is Strange has so many, when it comes to decision making, there's some decisions that I made in the game. I'm not going to get into them because I don't want to spoil the game for those that haven't played it. But there's some decisions that I made that at the very end of the game, I'm like, why did I do that? And of course, you can go back and there is replay value to this game, I think. But there was one big decision that I made that it didn't come to bite me back in the butt or anything like that. But it's like, the decision that I made, which, affected the ending of the game, I kind of wanted that a little bit, differently. So I should have chose differently earlier on. The characters are interesting. I mean, a lot of them are similar to the characters that were in the earlier games. I thought it was a well done, a well written game. It's a very emotional story, a family driven story. So it's really good, and I highly recommend it. But like I said, it's pretty short, so it's shorter than I expected. Then the other game I started playing, Carl, I know you were playing Origami 2. I'm going to let you talk about that more, but I actually played a little bit of it last night, but I'll let you talk about that game more. I also started a game called Song of Iron, and that's like on Xbox. It's not on Game Pass, so it's like maybe about $19.99. So I went ahead and got that because I liked what I saw in the, in the trailers and all. And it's a beautiful side-scrolling game, and the game really reminds me of Inside. I don't know if you guys have played Inside, but That game, you know,
I've not played Inside.
Yeah. But I mean, it's set in Norse mythology, you know, you're a Viking and your village gets, you know, destroyed and all. And so you're out for revenge. And so it's a side scrolling game where you're picking up weapons and, you know, you're running through forests, you're going into caves where it's very dark. And then the inside aspect to it all is you come up to stones and you have to push the stones and you have to climb up and get over rocks to traverse the terrain and all. But what really set me off last night when I was playing it is the control scheme, especially with the Series X controller. It's very, very sensitive. For example, just one little nudge of the left thumbstick button, in particular instances, will make the character kind of like dash backwards, you know, kind of like he's dodging, a dodge from a weapon or something, but there's no enemy there or whatever. And that, when that happens, you're in like a maze where there's like these big boulders or like something that can hit you and kill you. And then it just, you know, you die. And it's very, very sensitive. I think that's something that they can maybe fix in a patch or something. But yeah. And then climbing. Oh, my goodness. I mean, just mashing the A button to climb. And in some areas out in the forest, when you have to climb up a particular cliff, it's really, really difficult to climb. I think it's a bug. So that's the only thing that I don't like about this game so far. But other than that, the game is very beautiful. You know, it's a side-scrolling adventure. The combat it's okay, and it's not great, but I mean, you know, and certain locations that you go to, you pick up like gauntlets, you pick up chest plate armor, things like that. So you're upgrading your armor and your weapons as you go along. So I'm only about 3-4 hours into the game, but yeah, it's a good one. It's fun to play, and I think it's worth the $19. So that's what I've been playing. So Carl, go ahead, man. What about Origami 2?
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's funny because you mentioned Song of Iron. I wanted to say that when you told me about that, I was like, oh, I didn't even realize that came out. I totally forgot about that one.
Yeah, we had talked about it during the new game releases and just kind of skimmed over it.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, because that one was one that was talked about, I think, well enough before release. Like, it was highlighted at the Xbox, one of the Xbox shows.
Yeah.
I think people were looking forward to it, and then all of a sudden it's out and no one's talked about it. And reviews, there aren't even reviews from any of the major outlets. There's some reviews out there, but I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird that everyone just kind of ignored it. Yeah. But I don't know. I guess that happens sometimes. So yeah, Origami 2, I actually didn't play a lot of it because I mean, like right away in this tutorial, I ran into this hilarious bug that's like, just you can repeat it whenever you want. Like,
yeah,
you pick up a body, yeah, and if you try to vault over a half wall, usually I think it's the ones that are like peering over an edge, like a, you know, like a cliff.
Yeah,
you just keep vaulting infinitely, and infinitely forward, like you're flying through the air, and it's hilarious. But right away, I'm like off to a bad start here. I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a typical like stealth ninja thing.
Yeah.
Nothing really felt special about it. Visually, nothing special. You know, it's not terrible looking in any way.
Yeah, but I was going to say visually it looks like kind of like a Xbox 360 PS3 generation type of, you know,
type of thing. You know.
But it's an indie game, so yeah.
Right. I don't blame them for that, but like style-wise, like I don't think it's doing anything amazing or interesting. You know, everybody wears masks and there's like kind of a story reason for it. But I'm like, this is kind of like a cop out to not have faces if the way I look at it.
Yeah. You know? And it's like that mixture between like Japanese and Chinese, you know, and then it's like the writing. It's like they want you to think it's Japanese, but it's just gibberish.
Yeah.
It's so not Japanese, that's for sure.
I played the beginning tutorial level, and then you're in this like sort of, I guess, some sort of like hub town, walk around a little, talk to some people, but there's like nothing interesting as far as story wise. It's all bland, generic nonsense. And then you can't pause the game. So like for me, that's a huge, huge problem.
Yeah.
Cause I got the baby around and like sometimes I'm trying to play a little bit while she's around, but like, I gotta be able to stop and grab her if she's doing something.
Yeah.
And man, I mean, I don't understand how that's a thing. Like, I get there's a co-op like drop in multiplayer aspect to it, which I didn't even know was a thing until I saw that was like, there was like a, you know, hosting and session thing in the options, but it's like, come on, I can't even like pause the game while I'm playing it by myself. This is dumb. And I even tested it. If you back out to the home screen on the Xbox, game's still running. I don't know for how long, but it is still running. I tested this. I was like, all right, this guard's right here. I'm going to back out and see where he is. I came back. He's totally gone. I was like, oh, this is total nonsense. So yeah, I went to like their Discord channel and it looks like they're going to add pause function in the next fix. And, you know, they're aware of these bugs, but I'm like, maybe I'll try it again after that, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of bad, especially, you know, something like that. They should have had, fixed before they released it. But
So, yeah, I mean, it's like maybe my expectation was not maybe they didn't set the expectation that this is supposed to be sort of a co-op thing. But
yeah,
I didn't know. So I also tried Craftopia, a little bit of that. Which is all right. It's interesting. It's your mix of your survival, like Minecrafty stuff with Breath of the Wild, which is kind of cool in some ways. But it's very sandboxy. Like you're gonna get out of it. Like whatever you want to like kind of do, you want to mess around with, wherever you want to go, what things you want to focus on. Like it's all up to you. There isn't really a push or a drive to do anything specific other than it's like you can get, you know, points for doing specific builds and making certain things. It's just trying to teach you things. So I didn't play too much of that, but if you like that sort of game, I think it's definitely worth checking out. And I jumped into Quake a little bit just because I don't know why. I was like, install. I wanted to see what it looked like.
Yeah.
And you know what? I was amazed at how well it plays. Like it controls really well. Like, I guess I don't remember Quake, but like, I feel like I remember it as like Doom era where like you don't really have the like dual stick controls, but you do in this one. I don't know if that's the way it always was or not. Maybe I just don't remember. I think maybe Quake was one of the early games that did have that. And I was like, okay, this plays like a modern shooter. That's fine. I'm like, I was expecting something like really, really dated, but no, it felt really good. It looks cool. The new lighting and everything. It's cool. It was kind of fun. No, it's cool. Like that old school, like level, like first person shooter where like this is a level and you have to sort of like, it's a short level and you're going to die a couple times. You're going to have to figure out, you know, how to defeat it. You know, it's not like newer ones where like, you know, you kind of never die and you just always, or it gives you that checkpoint system. Like it's not like that. You die, you start at the beginning of the level. You just have to do the whole level. Those are fun. And more State of Decay too. But you know, it's my addiction there a little bit.
Yeah, there you go.
when it comes still back the
juggernaut edition, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't play the old one. I don't think I'm not even sure you can.
No,
I'm still in that new the new map, and I want to do is run out all of the unique quest lines that are popping up from the original characters from the first game that are in it, just to see how those pan out. And so far I finished out two of them, and it's cool because they give you at the end of them like unique stuff that you can't get anywhere else. So like a special thing for your base, a special mod for one of your for like your crops or something. So there's cool stuff in it. It's worth like if you like that, if you play those games, like that map is just still the best because it has the most extra stuff to it.
Cool. All right, Burley, take it away, man. So you've been playing the big one this week, yeah?
I've been playing two games. Deathloop, which we'll get into once we go into the Deathloop section. Mm-hmm. So, but the other game I've been playing is Tales of Arise.
Oh, Tales of Arise, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm enjoying what I've played of it so far. It is quite different compared to the other Tales games because you can only, instead of having like your typical TP, which is your mana in the mm-hmm. Tales series, you have what is called CP for just your healing, and you only have a limited amount you can use before you either go rest at an inn or a campfire. So okay. You really got to be careful in battles because you're like, oh, if I run out of this, I can't heal with this. I got to heal on items, but do I have enough items? So it's been a lot of fun.
Cool. But you've been primarily streaming Deathloop, right? Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. So it's time to get into the weekly news beat. So we've got a couple of more bad news stories this week when it comes to game delays. So the first one, of course, was Dying Light 2, delayed to 2022. So it's going to be coming out in February now. So I think it's February 4th. Yeah, February 4th, 2022 is the new date for Dying Light 2 to come out. And then also earlier this week as well, Battlefield 2042 is going to be delayed by about a month. It's going to come out on November 19th. So what I want to ask you guys is, I don't know, man, what do you think? You've got Dying Light 2 that's going to be coming out in February now. And you know how February's looking. You got Horizon Forbidden West coming out. And then, of course, with Battlefield, it's going to be moving closer to the Halo Infinite release. So which of these two games are going to be affected by these delays more? What do you think? Burley, I'll start with you on this one, man.
I think Dying Light 2 is going to be more affected because, as you said, February is quite packed. You've got Horizon, which I think Horizon's going to beat Dying Light 2 and blow it out of the water if Dying Light 2 stays in that, if it's going to release then.
Yeah, February 4th, yeah.
Yeah. Well, specifically, for sure, on PlayStation, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah. Carl, I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to mention PlayStation in that type of way, man. Yeah.
But you had to.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe smart. Maybe Xbox tries to get that on Game Pass or something. Who knows?
Yeah, that's the whole delay. They're trying to work out a deal to get it to Game Pass.
All right.
But Battlefield, where Battlefield is, the only thing that's going against is Pokemon Diamond and Pearl remakes. So I think Battlefield will do quite well. As long as it launches in a good state. Mm-hmm. But it's EA, so money's up in the air on that.
Yep, Burley and his love for EA. Yeah.
Hey, I like them more than I do Capcom, which is sad.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Burley's had his issues this year with Capcom, for sure, yeah. Carl, what do you think, man? Which is going to be affected more?
I mean, there's the possibility that Battlefield, it gets overshadowed by Call of Duty, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's sandwiched in between Call of Duty and Halo now.
Yeah.
And Battlefield has been the one that's sort of been the outlier, Halo is kind of a different issue, but Battlefield's kind of been hit and miss a lot.
Yeah.
People I think are more excited for Battlefield this year than Call of Duty. But that doesn't mean that the game is going to deliver. So yeah, it is possible that it just kind of dies in that spot, but
yeah,
it's really hard to say. And Dying Light 2, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in February, but maybe it finds its place. Cause I don't know if there's anything sort of similar to that in that time frame. There's Saints Row was supposed to be, I think, February, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So
Call of Duty is in October, right? Still. I think Call of Duty Vanguard.
Call of Duty is November.
November, I believe.
It's like November 5th or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. So just like 2 weeks off. So
Yeah. So it's they're both going to see some some flack there, but I don't know. They could do all right. Dying Light 2 is, I think a lot of people have been awaiting that game, although what state it's going to be in, considering another delay and how long it's been in development, I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's been in development for a little over 3 years, at least. So three, maybe four. Yeah.
I feel like that was longer. Maybe I'm thinking of the other game, actually.
Yeah. But I mean, you have Battlefield. I mean, you have your, you know, people that are going to only play Battlefield. You know, you have your Battlefield players, you have your Call of Duty players. So I don't think that's going to affect those type of gamers. But I mean, a game like Dying Light, I could see. Yeah. You know. With Horizon coming out, especially like you were saying with PlayStation, it's going to be dead on PlayStation. Dying Light 2 is not going to sell very well there. So, and then who's pre-ordering Battlefield? I mean, pre-order numbers, stuff like that. Who's pre-ordering Call of Duty? That might factor in a bit, but I don't know. I just think Dying Light 2 is the game that's going to be affected more. Yeah. So, but we shall see. All right, next up. So, Carl, you know, you're into Game Pass, yeah?
A little bit, just a little.
Yeah,
just a little. Yeah, yeah. We need a bullshit button on this one.
So this is the year of Game Pass, man. Come on.
Oh yeah, yeah. Game Pass is really blowing up in September. Yeah, so 13 new Xbox and PC games are coming, including Lemniscate, Sable, and Skatebird. So I'm gonna go through the list here. This is from Kotaku and John Walker over at Kotaku. So September 15th, so earlier this week, Flynn, Son of Crimson, for cloud console and PC came out, and then on September 16th was I Am Fish. For cloud console PC, Skatebird, cloud console PC, and Superliminal on cloud console and PC. And Carl, I heard you talking about that a little bit. You were going to try that out. Yeah.
Yeah, because I heard about that game before. It's like a really interesting puzzle game where you use the perspective to like change object sizes. And it looks really like an intriguing thing to try out. So yeah, I'm definitely going to jump into that. Sometime soon.
I think it originally came out on PlayStation.
It's been out already. Yeah, that's the thing. So like, that's why I heard of it.
Yep. And next, of course, and we talked about this. You know, Carl had been playing this during this past week. Origami 2 on cloud console PC. So let's hope they have some updates for that soon. On September 23rd, coming up this next week, Lost Worlds Beyond the Page for cloud console PC. Sable for cloud console and PC, Subnautica Below Zero for cloud console and PC, and Tainted Grail Conquest for PC. Then on September 28th, Lemniscate for console and PC. And then on September 30th, Astria Ascending for cloud console PC, and Unsighted for console and PC. So that's the remainder of September. So yeah, 13 more games coming out for Game Pass. So which one of these games are you guys really looking forward to playing? Carl, I know you and I, we've played a couple of them already, but I think the Astria Ascending looks really cool. Really looking forward to trying that out on the 30th. But what about you guys? Carl, which one of these games now coming up are you looking forward to playing?
Well, yeah, I do want to try Astria Ascending. You know, it is a turn-based JRPG. Well, styled JRPG. I don't know if it's actually Japanese, but it's styled like one. I'm just a little hesitant about that because those ones that are, like I said this before, that like sort of just straight side-scrolling RPGs like that. Like, what was that one? Child of Light. I think, which was a cool game, but I don't know. It's just something about them. Like, I just never really get into them. I think there's just something missing for me, but I will try it. And you know, I didn't realize Subnautica. I was excited when I saw that that expansion, that Below Zero expansion.
Yeah.
I might try that because I played Subnautica and it's a fun game. I really enjoyed that a lot. So
yeah. How about you, Burley? Which one?
Subnautica. I've actually really wanted to play the game, and I've been told by many people, "Oh, you got to sit and play this." And I know I could just have a blast streaming this on Twitch. So, and it's nice.
Yeah,
I can just
you will
easily. I can easily just use Game Pass and play this. I don't have to go fork out 40 or whatever it would cost me on my PlayStation.
Right. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm wondering if this is going to be like a trend almost every month. We're going to start seeing like these stealth releases pop up on Game Pass. Like, I don't know about 13, but yeah, each month now we're going to be getting some, you know, cool stuff. So
it seems just the way they do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's probably because they don't want to hurt sales.
Yeah.
So they want to announce that these games coming relatively close to when they're hitting Game Pass.
Yeah. And also September 30th would be the last day to pick up these games on Game Pass. Drake Hollow for cloud console and PC. Eichenfell for cloud console PC. Night in the Woods for cloud console and PC. And Kathy Rain for PC. And finally, Warhammer Vermintide 2 for cloud and console. So those are going to be leaving Game Pass after the 30th. So if you haven't picked those up and you want to try those out, do it before the end of the 30th. So, all right. So next up, Ubisoft. They lost some people recently, and those people went and opened up a new studio. So this is from Ian Walker over at Kotaku. So Nesting Games, it's called Nesting Games, a newly formed development studio based in Quebec, Canada. There you go, Burley. How far are you from Quebec, Burley?
I'm about 5.5 to 6 hours.
Okay. So not that bad. By car, right? Yeah.
Yeah, by car.
So they announced its co-ownership by Italian publisher Digital Brothers. Nesting, officially established in August by former Ubisoft employees, wasted no time in distancing itself from the open world style that has become so associated with the French company's release slate. They said, quote, "We want to go back to creating RPGs that are focused on immersion. Great characters, powerful storytelling, and strong gameplay," end quote, said Nesting CCO Jordan Thibault via press release. Quote, "We are moving away from the massive open world model full of icons to clean up and returning to experiences that are content driven and ultimately respect the player's time. Whether you play our games for 30 minutes or 2 hour sessions, what you will get is always interesting content and a gratifying experience," end quote. So I wanted to know what you guys thought about this because we used to talk about this on the podcast about all how open world games are just getting too massive and, you know, just overblown. And I think, Burley, you and I were talking about like, you know, how Assassin's Creed Valhalla had just become so way overblown. So how do you guys feel about this new studio that are made of former Ubisoft employees? How do you feel about what they are looking to create now? So, Burley, I'll start with you on this one, man.
I'm glad they left Ubisoft, as we've known. Ubisoft has had a lot of issues as of the last, like, was it 2 to 3 years? Mm-hmm. So, glad they got out and could form their own studio. And I totally agree with them, their statement that, like, yeah, these games have been bloated. Like Assassin's Creed Valhalla, good point in the plot, like a good maybe 20, 30 hours, you're just going to a different province and just doing the same goddamn things over again without it affecting the main story at all, really.
To you before, I think to finish the entire story in the game, it took me like 60 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
It was the same for me, and it's just like I just stopped caring about the story And it was just like, you could have made a good 20-hour story, and I would have been happy and satisfied. And then you just have these big, as you're saying, big overworld maps, and I just don't care.
Just littered with icons and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need to have a giant map. Give me a fair-sized map with actually interesting stuff I want to do, and I'll sit and do it. Like, that was one of the benefits of why I like Ghost of Tsushima so much.
Yeah.
There was a lot of content, but I actually like doing the content. So.
Yeah. I just want to point out one more thing from this article. It says here that nesting is also comprised of ex-Ubisoft employees like director Sebastian Brassard, who worked on the Prince of Persia and Splinter Cell series, and narrative director James Mittag, a scriptwriter on Assassin's Creed Valhalla and Immortals Phoenix Rising, or Immortals Phoenix Rising. So, Carl, what do you think, man?
I mean, new studio, that's nice. You know, you never know if these are going to actually pan out to something great. Yeah, making video games is hard, especially if you're trying to make something big. Obviously, they're not going to do a, like I said, these Ubisoft open world thing.
Yeah.
I know those, you know, a lot of people are tired of those, but weren't those games really popular? You know, like Assassin's Creed Origins and what was the other one?
Odyssey, Valhalla.
Odyssey, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Valhalla.
Yeah. So, I mean,
yeah. And even that Immortals Phoenix Rising, I think, did pretty well too. It was kind of like low key successful. So,
yeah.
And the Far Cry stuff, right? That's always doing well.
Yeah, I think they were successful because there's a lot of gamers that are invested in those worlds and in those type of games. I mean, I would say I'm, when it comes to Assassin's Creed, I'm one of them, you know, even though I kind of complain about how bloated they're getting along with Burly and stuff, I still play them. Go ahead.
I want to go back to the old style Assassin's Creed, to be honest.
Same.
And I guess that doesn't really even change the open worldness of it. It's more about the RPG-ness of it, which is just, it's just gone too far. You know, it's like, I don't.
Yeah, they're less stealthy, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's like, I just want to, like when I play an Assassin's Creed game, it's like, I always remember it as like, if I sneak up on a guy and stab him, he's dead. That's it. There's no question about it. There's no, like, is he a higher level than me or not?
Yeah.
Because guess what? No guard should ever be a higher level than my assassin.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I miss the old style. Like, the gameplay felt more like, you know, the Arkham games, actually, when you think about it, the old ones, because you were just parrying attacks and you were one shot killing everyone, you know, basically, for the most part. But anyway, that's not what the studio, you know, whatever. It's like I said, it's hard making games.
Yep. And we'll see in the future what kind of games they come out with and, you know, how close to the lines of what they're talking about, you know.
How much of an RPG are they really going to make, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Because I don't really consider those Assassin's Creed games RPGs. I mean, they have those elements to them, but.
Yeah,
I know they've leaned harder into that, but I don't know. RPG now is just such this like vast, broad category.
Yeah,
and it bugs me. I actually was thinking about like the action RPG the other day, and how it's like people say JRPG, and as this sort of like blanket term, as if all Japanese RPGs are like kind of similar, but it's not true because Tales of Arise is like. Completely different thing from your turn-based RPGs, right? Your traditional, you know, JRPGs.
Yeah.
So yeah, I want to call them JRPGs. Okay, that's, I'm pointing the phrase JRPGs.
JRPGs.
Tales of Arise is the first JRPG.
Well, speaking of. RPGs, guys. Sega and Atlus are set to announce a new RPG at Tokyo Game Show. So the publisher will hold a live stream on October 1st. So this comes from Video Games Chronicle and Andy Robinson. So Sega is set to announce a new RPG during its Tokyo Game Show on October 1st. The live stream is set to take place at 10 p.m. Japan Central Time. That's 2 p.m. British Standard Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And will also include context from Atlus, the subsidiary responsible for the Persona and Shin Megami Tensei games. The RPG reveal could potentially be related to Sakura Wars, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year after a logo for the series was briefly spotted on the TGS website this month. So Tokyo Game Show takes place from September 30th to October 3rd and will include more than 40 presentations. So I know, guys, what do you think? What would you like to see this announcement be?
You know, I hate to burst your bubble on this, but they released a teaser website for this new RPG already.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mobile game. So
bubble pop.
Why am I not surprised?
I read that and I was like, come on, guys. Like, I guess they gotta get ahead of it because you don't want people thinking that it's gonna be something big. And then the show day comes and it's another mobile.
Yeah. What would you guys like to see from Sega during the TGS show?
Oh my God.
Do you think we're gonna get like from Atlus? Do you think we'll see anything from Persona 6, or do you think that's still way off?
Persona 6 is way off, I think, mm-hmm. because they just released Strikers. I think it was earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they've started Persona 6. If anything you're going to get out of Persona 6 is maybe just the logo. That's about it. I think it's Persona 6 is easily a good 2 to +3 years out.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, Strikers is made by a different studio, though, right?
I thought it was Atlus, but...
Like, they support, but it's made by the... what's the studio? The one who makes those Musou games.
Oh, not Arcane.
Yeah, I can't remember. But like they did the Zelda one also.
Oh, right. The guys that do Dynasty Warriors and all that.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, Sega, man, there's so much that they could do, but who knows if they ever will. Like, you know, Valkyria Chronicles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love that franchise, and I think maybe it's gotten a little stale by the fourth game, mm-hmm. but, you know, do something else with that type of engine, that type of format, because I thought that was incredibly unique and awesome, and I want to see more like it, but, you know, Sega, man, they just kind of stick to their few things here and there. This is why, I guess maybe financially maybe that's the right decision and all, but
yeah,
if someone like Microsoft were to buy them, which is ever always the rumor, not that I think it'll happen, but you know, there's so much potential to open up that back catalog, start getting that stuff out there, putting stuff back out, you know, remasters and remakes, and then seeing what people, you know, gravitate towards and just making new stuff, you know?
Yeah. Who knows, Carl, you might get that, the Judgment, you know, coming to Game Pass. Right. Yeah.
That makes sense. It really does. I don't know.
Hey, did you know it was free this weekend?
Oh, it was? I didn't.
It actually is. Yeah. Free this weekend. I think it is. Yeah. Yeah. Just one weekend, but still, hey,
know what Carl's doing this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know, man.
Hey, Shining Force. Still wait. I want to see more of that. I wonder if we'll see more.
Yeah. Well, it's a good place speaking to see of it. Lost, yeah. Speaking of Lost Judgment, guys. And Carl, you put this up on the Discord. Yeah, Lost Judgment's getting some good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So IGN, Tristan Ogilvie gave it a 7 out of 10. So she said the Lost Judgment disappoints with its main story and simplistic detective work, but excels with its substantial school-based side quests.
So yeah, I saw that, and a couple people really like that like school element to it, which
yeah
I hear that and I'm like, you guys may be onto something. Maybe you need to do another spinoff that's based in a school.
Yeah, well, because here in Japan, it was
something like
guys,
a bully, you know.
Well, yeah, because you know, in Japanese, Japanese people say ijime, which means bullying. It's a serious thing in the school system here because the suicide rates in Japan are quite high, and you know, a lot of school kids, particularly junior high school and high school kids in Japan, tend to commit suicide due to bullying. So it's a serious issue out here. So yeah, I mean, even though it's a side quest, I mean it's a part of the story that's going to be you know, pretty powerful, I think. So
yeah, and it looks like it's actually like a pretty deep side thing because there's what was it like? You have to like investigate the different students or something for some whatever's going on. You know, I've never played those games, but.
Yeah, well, I think in the game, you know, Yagami, you know, who's played by Burley, say it again, Kimura Takuya. There you go. You're getting good, man. You're getting good. So, Yagami, he has to go to Yokohama because one of the characters in the game supposedly that has something to do with the investigation. She was bullied as a high school student in Yokohama, and maybe some of those, I don't know this, so this is just speculation, but maybe some of those, you know, that were involved in the bullying had something to do with, you know, the investigation. I don't know. We'll see. But and some of the other reviews, Easy Allies, Brad Ellis at Easy Allies gave it an 8 out of 10. Game Informer, Blake Hester, gave it a 7.3 out of 10. And Games Radar Plus, Hiran Cryer, gave it 4.5 out of 5 stars. So, yeah, it's looking good so far. And like I was saying before, I'm going to be playing it next week, day one. So hopefully in the next episode, I'll have a little bit to say about it. So, yeah. Looks good.
Yeah. Are you looking at OpenCritic? Or are you looking at Metacritic? I don't know which one you use.
I'm the one that you you posted, Carl, on the Discord server, OpenCritic.
OpenCritic. So, that's yeah. I like OpenCritic a lot because they're smarter. They don't separate games by like platform, which is nonsensical. Mm-hmm. So you don't have different review scores for like Xbox, PlayStation, and PC.
Yeah.
Like the it's got a 84 average on there, which is nice. But they also have this critics recommend score, which is at 89%. Which if you know Rotten Tomatoes, it functions a lot like that, where it's like there's a positive ratio, like a certain number is positive, so everything above that is considered positive. So this is 89%. Like, say it's a good game, and that also what's nice about that is that includes reviews that don't use scores or traditional scores. So if you use like letter grades, or you just say like someone has like a rent or buy, you know, or skip, those type of scales.
Yeah.
It will include that, which is awesome because you can't quantify that in a number. You're like ruining their review system. So thought I'd bring that up. If people don't know, like, use OpenCritic. It's cool. It's much better.
All right. Awesome. Okay, so it's time for our topic of the show. So what would justify a perfect game score? Should a perfect rating score exist for a game? We're going to talk about that. But first, speaking of reviews, there were some perfect scores out there for Deathloop. And I want to get Burley's assessment because Burley has been playing Deathloop, and I want to get his Burley, you haven't finished the game yet, right?
No.
Okay, so this would be a pre-finish review. of the game. But yeah, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this before we get more into whether or not a game should get a perfect score or not. So tell us about Deathloop, man.
So just for everyone knows, I've only got about 10 to 11 hours. I was hoping to stream and play some last night, but due to the work emergency, couldn't get any more time in. But I am really enjoying Deathloop. For those that haven't played it, if you've played Dishonored, it's kind of like Dishonored. Mm-hmm. You're an assassin you can get magical powers, but you've also got this hacking element, and you've got you're under a time thing of you got to kill 8 targets within one full day. So you're going to keep replaying loops over and over, regaining knowledge and finding out, okay, these targets are in this section at this time of day. So if I plan my routes well, I can go here, this area in the afternoon and kill these two to make it easier on my run.
Okay.
So right now I've just been I've killed like 2 or 3 of the targets. But I'm now just gaining more and more information, trying to find the best routes.
Okay. Now, if you were to rate this game right now, from what you've played, is it a perfect game?
I can't give this a 10.
He gives it 11.
I was half tempted. if you want me to give it a rating, I would give this I'd have to give this an 8, and an 8 is still, by me, I would say still really good. Mm-hmm. Like there's a few little hiccups I have with it. Mm-hmm. One thing is the pause system. I don't know if it's because I have the online set to always on, because one of the things is you can have other players join in, playing as the other person, Juliana, mm-hmm. one of the 8 targets, trying to who can come in and kill you. And that is mm-hmm. a fun mode to play. Mm-hmm. But there are little graphical glitches, which are more just hilarious. But there's just a few little things of it's kind of hard to explain without playing it. Mm-hmm. That I can't give this a 10.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, can you tell me more about how that multiplayer thing works with Juliana? Because I'm just wondering, like, okay, so can you turn it off completely?
Yes, you can. You can
and turn then, it
off. Okay. What'll now happen? The AI will take after as Juliana and come randomly.
Okay. All right, that's cool. I like that, because I just like don't want other players like messing with me.
Why, you don't want me? Well, you're just at the beginning, after you're starting to learn the game, have me come in with rockets and blow you up?
Yeah, I you know, that probably doesn't sound like a good thing, but you know, maybe some people are into that. There's some masochists out there, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so we'll be looking forward to hearing more of what you think of Deathloop later on, Burley, when you get to finishing it. So,
But
now, it alerts you. Sorry, when she comes in, right? I've heard that.
Yeah, you do get an alert. How it is you get an alert that, hey, you can't go back now. You can't go. You can't go back to the main hub area. There's a radar is being jammed. And if you're online, you know that means someone online's playing against you. If you're playing just by yourself, not online, it's the AI. And you got to go unjam the radar. And this is actually one of my criticism comes. Not from the jamming the radar, is if you're in a loop, you've gotten stuff, but you can't either finish this or there's nothing really you can see that you can do. You can't just go back to the hub area. You either got to try and finish the mission or lose all your lives. And if you've gotten a bunch of stuff, I want to go back, bring it back, see if I've got enough of the radium to infuse it so I can keep the stuff and bring them back for future loops. I can't do that. I either got to succeed or just say, fuck it, lose all my lives and remember stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of stuff that makes me can't give this game a 10.
Yeah, those are like roguelike elements, I guess. Like, yeah, I'm not a big fan of those.
Well, I like that you can at least keep your stuff, but give me the option to go back to the base, like the base area. I don't know why I have to succeed the mission.
Okay, so let me just throw this out there, guys. Do you think there's a game that should have a perfect score?
So I think we have to define what you mean, right, by perfect score.
Yeah, a perfect game.
Well, but a perfect score isn't necessarily a perfect game, right?
Well, wouldn't it be? I mean, if you're reviewing a game.
Well, and that's the thing that, like, some reviewers, specifically like IGN, has made this a point of theirs to say that a 10 out of 10 is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that it's perfect.
Yeah.
So when I give a game a perfect score, I mean, the answer is yes. Do I think any game is perfect and has no flaws at all? I mean, probably not. No, I don't think so.
Okay. Burley, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with Carl on this.
Mm-hmm.
There are games that I can easily give, like, you know, the 10 out of the 10 perfect score,
mm-hmm.
but are no means perfect. Like, it has those either little graphical glitch or just some weird little glitches here and there.
Yeah.
But still is a masterpiece that I can go back and play again and always have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, when it comes to masterpiece, you know, when it comes to giving a game a perfect score, a 10 out of 10, this is just me. When I look at a 10 out of 10, I think that they think that there's nothing wrong with the game. That's just me. I mean, yeah, they say it's a masterpiece. It probably is. It's a great game. There's probably hardly anything wrong with it at all. There were no glitches or no bugs or anything, but you know, if it's a 10 out of 10, I'm thinking, well, to them, they must think it's a perfect game. There's nothing really that could be done to fix this thing. I mean, that's just my opinion and all, but I don't know. I just could never, of course, I'm not a reviewer for IGN. I'm not a reviewer for any of these, you know, publications or anything, but, you know, if I were reviewing games, I just ethically, morally for myself, I would not be able to give any game a 10 out of 10. Maybe a 9.9, maybe a 9.5, but a 10 out of 10. There's got to be something that could be worked on. There's got to be something that could be fixed or, you know, something that could be added on to a game. But for it to be given a 10 out of 10, that's as close to perfect as I think, you know, a game would be to these people, you know. So.
I mean, I understand what you're saying there, but when it, these are, you know, works of art in some cases, right?
Yeah.
And you're trying to be critical of something that is really just an opinion. It's subjective, right? There's no way that any video game could really be 100% perfect, right? Because there's no scale that says that this thing is perfect. It's just impossible because every one of them, every game is different.
Yeah.
It's like every piece of art. It's like every movie, every TV show.
Yeah.
So if you have a scale for reviewing, and especially when it's like a 10-point scale or less, like if you never give anything the highest score, then your scale doesn't go to 10, right? Your scale goes to 9 or 9.5,
right? Yeah.
It's like, that's kind of silly and wasteful. Like,
didn't it used to be 100? I think it was IGN used to have like a system up to 100, didn't they?
They did, yeah. And yeah, others and have
then
done
they,
that too.
Then they changed it back to like a 10. Yeah.
They've done a couple of things. They had a, like a 20-point scale, which they had like the 0.5s.
Yeah.
So you can only do 0.5s. But yeah, they've also had right the 100-point scale. And like if you're doing a 100-point scale, then yeah, I guess nothing will ever get 100, right? Because you can nitpick such a fine detail, right? You're not going to give 100. Yeah. But then that's why those scales are silly, because how do I tell you what's a 98 versus a 99?
Yeah.
It's insane. Yeah. It's like generally, and people criticize, you know, again, I speak to IGN because they're popular. People talk about them a lot, especially their reviews, in that like their scale generally just goes from like 6 to 9, right?
Yeah.
Because most of their games fall into that area. But like there's a good reason for that, because when you review AAA games, right? And they even review indies too, of course, but again, they can't review every game because there's so many out there.
Yeah.
So when you're deciding what to review, generally speaking, you're picking the games that are A, more popular, or B, look really good, you know, or C, have like some sort of pedigree behind them, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you have reasons that you're picking certain games, and generally that means that they're probably going to be the better games. You're probably not reviewing the garbage pile trash on the, you know. That's why you never see some really low scores. You know, so you see a lot of eights because, you know, like AAA studios, I mean, they don't want to make a bad game. They want to be successful. So like they're going to put a lot of money and effort into making that game at least very good, or at least good. Like,
Well, speaking of IGN, you know, because IGN is one of the most popular, you know, gaming news sites. I kind of wanted to list off within the past 10 years, the games that they gave a 10 out of 10 or so to a perfect score.
Well, this ought to be good.
2011. Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception. November 2011, The Legend of Zelda, Skyward Sword.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, I know. That one I remember because I'm like, really? Like, come on. That's bizarre. Like,
Skyward
it's like
Sword
probably
is a good game. No means is that game perfect. And I love Uncharted 3. I can't even give that.
Okay. Here we go. We're continuing here. So 2013, Grand Theft Auto 5, which is coming out now for the umpteenth time.
Yeah. I haven't played it really much, but I understand that one.
Yeah. Let's see. After that, 2014, The Last of Us Remastered.
Yeah.
He's given it a perfect score.
No, overrated. Okay. He's the thing with that one. I kind of agree, but also I think Last of Us 2 is better, so I'd probably give that game a 10.
Yeah. Next up, August 2015, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's given a perfect score.
That game, I would give it 9 probably, because you can't give it a 10 because the story is absolutely complete nonsense and it's not even finished.
Yeah.
was the Phantom Pain, or no, wasn't that was the game that was split into two games, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're thinking of Ground Zeroes, right?
Ground Zeroes was kind of like a standalone type of five-hour game.
A 2-hour game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really split because like Ground Zeroes actually has kind of nothing to do with it. It's just like another side thing. I mean, I'm sure there's more relation than I'm aware of, but like I played both of them, and you don't need to play both of them.
Okay, let's move on here. January 2016, so we're into 2016. The Witness. It's given a perfect score. June 28th, 2016, Inside. So I mentioned this earlier because Song of Iron, it's definitely not on the lines of The Witness, but Inside. But there are some elements to it. But I mean, yeah, Inside was a great game. But I don't know.
I agree with that one. Though. Yeah, I agree with that one.
Yeah. Next up into 2017, The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
I still haven't played it.
You're not missing anything.
And here's one
weapon,
you just
weapon breaking alone would take points off.
And here's one you were just playing, I think, last week, Burley. August 15th, 2017, Undertale.
Undertale, as much as I love that game, I can't give that a 10. I can give that a 9.
Mm-hmm. Okay. October 2017, Super Mario Odyssey. So, like, see, two back-to-back Nintendo exclusives, yeah.
See, Odyssey, and I'm sure
more of a 10 than Breath of the Wild. I can say that. I loved Odyssey, but I can't give it a 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm sure Odyssey is a great game. Yeah. I haven't played it, but, you know, Nintendo games, generally speaking, seem to get an easier look, and they seem to be scored higher than a lot of other things. Like, yeah. Is Odyssey a better game than, like, Psychonauts 2? I don't know, right? Like,
I mean, Mario doesn't tell us. Psychonauts 2, and I can tell you, Odyssey does have a bit of a story.
Yeah.
But does it have a real story?
No. Okay, let's move on. January 2018. So we're into 2018. Celeste is given a perfect score.
Okay.
Keep me.
April 2018, God of War.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I can agree with that one.
Yep. October 2018, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oof. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Like, I want to say yes.
Overrated.
I think it's really good, but I might have to take a little off on that one.
Okay, into 2020 now. Half-Life Alyx in March of 2020.
It's VR now.
Yeah, VR.
I love that's Carl's criticism right there.
It's VR.
Yeah, people, like, 2 months after that game came out, figured out how to make it so you can play it without the VR.
No, I mean, I'm sure it's the best VR game ever made.
Yeah, maybe. May 2020, Persona 5 Royale.
Hell no. See, my thing is, I've not played Royale, but I've put a decent amount of time into Persona 5. I love the game, but the problem is they have you do way too much to just try and do for you to progress in the story every section. Yeah. It's like, come on. Like, yeah. I like a good long JRPG, but you got to get things better so it'll flow better. But they're always concerned of, we need to make this always a 100-hour game.
Yeah.
For the story, and it's like, you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to try that. I still haven't played those games. So I'm still holding out that it's going to be on Xbox or Game Pass soon.
Yeah.
We'll see.
June 2020, Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Oh.
There was no mountain killing Pedro Pascal, 0 out of 10.
And finally, the last game that IGN gave a perfect score to is August 17th, 2020, Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020. Yeah.
They also gave Deathloop too.
Yeah, Deathloop.
Yeah, that's the latest one, of course. Yeah, but So
Flight Sim's a weird one because,
yeah,
I, like, personally, I didn't really like it because it's the most sim game I've ever played.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is. It, I like to say, it's not a video game, as far as, like, or it's not a game, right? Like, yeah. There's no real gamification going on in it.
Right. It's a simulation. Yeah, it's a simulator.
Yeah. There are a lot of other simulators that are, like, playing around with it and having a gamification to it. This game really doesn't do that. And is it perfect at what it does? I suppose it might be. So maybe that's why you want people give it that really high score. But I can't speak to that because, yeah, I don't know anything about it. Flying a plane, and I'm not interested in the technicalities of all of that.
Yeah. So what about this year, guys? Burley, you're still playing Deathloop. So, you know, you can't give it a 10 out of 10 like you were saying earlier, but is there a game that you've played this year that you think it's close to being perfect?
Rift Apart.
Okay.
Like I my heart also wants to say Ghost of Tsushima, but that's just because we got director's cut, and I kind of feel I shouldn't
boo.
Count.
Boo, Burley, boo. How dare you? Can I? Okay. I have this theory on this, that the director's cut thing is about review scores in some ways. It's not only about that, but because if you look at the amount of reviews the director's cut got, I mean, it's crazy. Like it's got like, you know, 80 some odd reviews. I think last I checked, maybe more on some of them. Like it's getting reviewed like a major new release title. I mean, versus some other games, smaller games, or like other things that, you know, aren't as popular, right? Are not getting as much attention. So like what they're doing is actually a really clever, like sort of, I don't like grift in a way.
Yeah.
Like they're like, instead of releasing a DLC, like a $20 DLC, which basically that's really what it is, right? With some other enhancements that should be free. And which would get some attention and some reviews, but not really as much. They're repackaging the whole thing together and forcing a lot of places to look at the whole thing as a total package, right? And say like, oh yeah, as a total package, this thing is a 9 or 10 versus like looking at just the DLC and trying to rate just that.
Burley, no, your thoughts on that?
he's not wrong. As much as I want to like say I'm damned opposed and all that, he's right on the money on that.
Yeah. How close to a perfect score would you guys give Psychonauts 2?
Have not finished, so I can't say.
Really close, really close. Don't know if I would give it a perfect score, although I'd consider it. I'd think about it, because when I think about that game, I mean, I have very few criticisms at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's that other game that came out earlier this year. It's called It Takes Two. I think it's a multiplayer game.
It's a co-op. Yeah,
co-op game that has gotten a lot of good reviews, rave reviews. But it's interesting. We'll we'll have to see. I mean, later, you know, the next couple of months, we'll see what games come out and how close, you know, we might feel that they are to being.
You missed a 10 out of 10 at IGN. They gave Crusader Kings 3 a 10 out of 10.
When?
That came out this year, wasn't it?
Last year.
Last year, right.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay, because that wasn't on the list that
I... Yeah, I don't know. It's PC only at that time.
Oh, okay. So maybe. I see.
Which, again, I mean, I might agree with that. Like, for that type of game, like, I loved it. I was addicted for a little while, you know? I just kept wanting to always go back to it.
Cool.
So what are... Yeah, we didn't get to, like, what are our personal 10 out of 10s, right?
If you want to do that, I don't have a personal 10 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
Judgment doesn't even get a perfect 10 out of 10 from you.
I mean, because like I was saying earlier, no game's perfect. I would give it a 9. I'd give it maybe 9.5.
All right.
So, I'll rephrase this then. For me, a game that would be as close to perfection as possible. Judgment, I couldn't give it to Judgment at all. No, I'd say you'd give Judgment an 8, maybe. Man.
I want to throw
it
out.
It depends
two.
On the genre. I mean, it depends on the genre of game. I mean, I love twin stick shooters. I loved Resogun because, you okay. know, I go.
That's fair.
Way, way back to, you know, my Defender days a long time ago, of course, you know, but, you know, Resogun was a great one. You know, like we were talking about the Last of Us. I mean, just yeah. the original Last of Us, such a great game. I mean, you know, for me, I of the Uncharted games, I thought Uncharted 2 was the best. I mean, that's, I would probably have given that yeah. a 9.
You know, you bring up yeah. an interesting point with the genre thing. And I think that's important when you look at reviews, because you can't say that, like, you know, a 10 out of 10, like Flight Sim, 10 out of 10, and compare that to some other game, like, you know, Demon's Souls remake, right? And that game's like a 9. I'm like, oh, you know, oh, you're telling me Flight Sim's better? Like, no, that's just yeah. not how it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, the genre does matter. Is it the best at what it's trying to achieve? I think right. is
right.
what you're looking at there.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Burley? Like,
I'm sorry, quick ones. Carl, I have yeah. more. I want to throw out just two quick ones, and then Burley, go ahead. But I wanted to say Chrono Trigger, and as far as old games, and Super Mario World.
Okay.
Those are two great ones to throw out. For me, I'd have to go Final Fantasy VII.
Okay.
The original, not the mm-hmm. not the remake.
Yeah.
And I know this one's gonna come to no surprise. Ghost of Tsushima.
Boo. Okay. No. No, it's a very good game. Very good. You can give it a 9. That's fine.
Cool. All right. Okay. So,
other more recent games. I mean, like The Witcher 3. I mean, yeah, it's got its problems, but like, yeah. I would want to give that a 10 out of 10, you know?
Yeah.
I got to retry that game.
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
That's the second one of that trilogy.
Yeah. That was a great one.
I mean,
okay. Yeah. So that was our topic of the show, talking about games that, you know, could potentially be a perfect game. What justifies a perfect game? If any game should be a perfect game. So anyway, now let's move on to our releases for this week, for the week of September 20th through the 26th. Now, I want to do something different tonight, guys, because there's like 20 plus games like every week and stuff. And we've had some comments that have been coming in saying, you know, we kind of push this out a little too long when it comes to reading off all of these particular games. So what I want to do, I want to change this up, and I just want to get your guys's opinions of which of these games would you most recommend for gamers this particular week of the list that we have. So like, there's a ton of games, there's like 20 plus games, but I mean, give me one game that you would want to, recommend to our listeners and to gamers out there. And then you can go ahead and read the synopsis of the game. And for example, what day it comes out and on what platforms. Okay. So Burley, I'll start with you. Of this whole list that we have, over 20 plus like games.
19th through the 25th?
20th through the 26th. Oh. So September 21st is the first game going through the 26th. So the last one on the list would be the Death Stranding Director's Cut. So taking a look at this list, Burley, which one would you recommend the most?
Mine's going to be no shock. Kena, Bridge of Spirits.
Okay. Could you read that for us? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
Yeah.
Kena, Bridge of Spirits, coming out Tuesday, September 21st, coming to PC, PS4, and PS5. No Game Pass. Mm-hmm. A story-driven action-adventure of the game.
Seems
a narrative with exploration, puzzle-solving, and fast-paced combat for a beautiful, immersive journey.
And you can check out my preview video on Expat 2020 Gaming. I put up a preview video this last week on Kena, Bridge of Spirits. So,
I was going to say, some smaller websites have been doing reviews. I was reading last night, and they've been scoring this game pretty well. So,
yeah. And just one quick point for all of you listeners out there. We're reading these from the website called releases.com. So you can check out releases.com, and you can see all of these games that are going to be coming out through the week of September 20th through the 26th. So, Carl, what about you? Which one of these games would you recommend the most?
It's tough because I don't think I'm really going to play any of these.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll highlight, you know, Diablo 2 Resurrected.
Okay.
Is the definitive remastering of Diablo 2 and its Lord of Destruction expansion, two hallmark entries in the company's genre-defining action role-playing series.
Mm-hmm.
And this is coming to PC, PS4, PS5, Switch, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and S.
Cool. Awesome.
On the 23rd.
Do you think with all the stuff that's been going on with Activision Blizzard, do you think that's going to affect this?
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay.
Diablo has its fan base, and they're going to go wild over this because it looks incredible. And Diablo 2 is a lot of people's favorite in that franchise.
Yeah.
I actually didn't play it. I kind of want to. Like, I played 1, and I loved Diablo 1. You know, back in the day, it was like an incredible, you know, new, unique experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. Like, I didn't play 2. My brother played 2, and he loved it. And I watched him play some of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm interested in that game, but I don't think I'm going to buy it is the thing.
Yep. Okay, my turn. And I think both of you guys know which one I'm going to pick. Lost Judgment from the creators. Oh, shut up, Burley. You're not shocked at all. From the creators of the Yakuza series, Lost Judgment weaves noir narrative and action-packed investigations into a mystery thriller. With fresh cases to crack in a new location, Yokohama, take control of street-fighting detective Yagami Takayuki in Ryuga Gotoku Studios' action game. Do you have what it takes to solve the perfect crime? So it comes out on a PlayStation 4, PS5, and it will be coming to Xbox One and Xbox Series X on September 24th. So, yes. And it will not be coming to PC because of Kimura Takia's production company, Johnny's. They don't want it to go to PC because of all the facial rendering and all that, you know, like the modding and all that other stuff that people like to do that they don't understand at all. So yeah. So I highly recommend this because I played Judgment and it's a great game. And I think this is going to be just as good or even better. So looking forward to it. And the maps will be expanded. You're not only going to be in Kamurocho in this game. You're also going to be going to Yokohama for detective work. So yeah, that's my pick for this week. So there's so many games on this list, games coming out for PC, for Switch, for Xbox, for PlayStation. It's releases.com, so if you want to check out the entire list, I recommend going to that website and checking it out. Okay, alrighty. So before we conclude the episode, I want to let everyone know where you can find me on social media. You can find my general content creator site at expat2020.live and my YouTube channel for gaming and podcast content at youtube.com/expat2020gaming and the podcast's channel for gaming, entertainment, and pop culture at youtube.com/thearenacitadel. My other social media links to Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, the Arena Podcast Discord server, and the podcast websites are at Linktree. That's at linktr.ee/expat2020. So at Linktree. That does it for me. Burley, where can people find you on social media, man?
You can find me at Twitter, at BurleyManGaming. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/BurleyManGaming.
Okay. And Carl, where can people find you, man?
I am on Twitter, at TurnBasedCarl. Come to me for some spicy takes.
All right. Yep. Yep. Okay. So to end the show, our indie recording artist spotlight. So this week's spotlight is on Banana Split. Banana Split create immaculately crafted electronic pop with passionate vocals, acoustic instrumentation, and striking songwriting all wrapped into a groundbreaking production. From the title song of their album called Your Captain. This has been The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast, episode 54. I've been your host, Expat, along with my co-hosts, Burley of Burleyman Gaming and Turnbase Carl. We hope to catch you in the next one. So take care, everyone. Peace out.
You told me I'm your anchor. I told you you're my pole. Through the wind and fire, we try to hold on. We build this ship together, searching for a home. Despite the storm that hit us, we're still on board. Dancing in the moonlight, the world just stops and stares. We got no destination, I'll take you anywhere. All the doors we've opened, and all the books we've closed. Words just come together, story that we never told. So forsaken for my own, you said just keep holding on. If you're about to break, oh, I'll always be your captain. From our failures we have grown. You said just keep holding on. If you're about to break, oh, I'll always be your captain. I'll be your captain. I'll always be your captain. Together, a story that we never told. So forsaken for my own, you said just keep holding on. If you're about to break, oh, I'll always be your captain. From our failures we have grown. You said just keep holding on. If you're captain.